Welcome into the 615 Sessions podcast on this Friday, last Friday of the preseason. Titans and Cardinals getting ready to square off at Nissan Stadium tomorrow as we're taping this podcast in just a little more than 24 hours from now. But given that it was the last week of training camp, I thought it was still worth coming back and recapping some of the things that we've seen. Roster cuts and the criticalness, I think that's a word. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, the backup quarterback spot and why I think Logan Woodside is still going to be on this roster after next Tuesday at 3 p.m. You're also going to hear my conversation with Malik Willis. It was the last week of training camp, so Malik was the last camp interview that we did. You'll hear that, and of course, anytime that you want to check out the camp interviews, the player interviews that we do, you can check out the radio show on 104.5 The Zone from 10 to 1. But first, before we get to Malik, I'm going to tell you about my friends at Two Rivers Ford. Like a football player in the clutch, Two Rivers Ford always delivers. That's how they've been doing business since 1983, nearly 40 years in Middle Tennessee. Whether you want to build your own Ford, you want to customize your own Ford and have Two Rivers Ford deliver it, they can do that with the Built For You program. If you want to go check out any of the new or pre-owned inventory, certified pre-owned inventory that they have available, you can do that at the lot in Mount Juliet. Or if you're still looking around and you're not quite certain about what you want, you can have one of their non-commissioned salespeople keep an eye out for you as new inventory becomes available for a vehicle that might work for your family's budget or your needs. Two Rivers Ford makes it easy no matter how you like to shop. They pride themselves on their customer service. Go check out the dealership in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. Let's get to Malik Willis. Down with us after joint work against the Arizona Cardinals. What's going on, boss?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Man, we're living. We're living. Just enjoying the show that you y'all have been putting on out here for the past couple of weeks and really seemed like it was a competitive what little joint work you got. I know a lot of two-minute stuff, but it looked competitive from our vantage point anyway.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to get back out there, get some work, get ready for this week's preseason game, and getting to practice with those guys is cool. And we just take whatever work we can get.
How beneficial has it been for you to kind of see the different looks that these two different defenses have brought in after kind of practicing against the same personnel, same kind of defense the last couple of weeks before joint practice?
I think it's really cool seeing how different defensive coordinators utilize their players and try to play different coverages. And maybe they got a strong defensive front, so they try to pressure you and play a lot of man or play a lot of zone, try to confuse you, just a whole bunch of different stuff. And it's really cool to see and just get to experience this for the first time.
And it seems like obviously it's competitive and there's a lot of strain that goes into these things, but at least from our perspective, it looks like you're really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's football. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all it is. And the only thing they got on you is a little bit of experience, you know what I mean? So that's how I look at it. And so it makes it even more fun. It's like, all right, they done been through this 1,000 times and this is my fifth time going through it. So
that's
how
right.
Am I going to, you know, go out there and make sure I'm doing what I need to do to learn from it?
Titans quarterback Malik Willis here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So from that standpoint, where, you know, you try to put goals in front of you and you kind of work towards certain things, and obviously everybody is trying to be in the best position they can to help the team, but how has this felt for you, just the flow of the last couple of weeks of what training camp has been, and do you feel like you've gotten as much out of it as humanly possible?
Hey, man, at the end of the day, I'm blessed to be in training camp.
Sure.
I got a lot of friends and a lot of teammates, a lot of people that's not in training camp right now. So I'm taking it all in as if, you know, it's the biggest I'm going to get. So I'm just appreciating the coaches for trying to help me out and all my teammates. We're rallying and working together every day. And then, like you say, we're getting this ability to go with these different teams and see these different coverages, see these different fronts, see these different call styles from defensive coordinators. And it's just been really cool and it's been really helpful.
What have you thought of the environment at Nissan Stadium? I know it's the first home game that you've gotten to play there, and you've played in big college football games before, but this is still the first sample size for everybody else to kind of see the work that you guys are putting in. How did you like the preseason?
It's cool. I mean, I got a lot to fix. I mean, and this, I feel like it's even better to go out there and not perform at your what you feel like your best is and still you know, not perform terribly. Sure. I feel like that's really good, and you just have a lot to just learn from, and you'd rather learn from it right now than, you know, when you go through adversity later on. You already have faced adversity and want to know how to fix it. You know, that's what I really enjoy about this preseason.
And it seems like, at least, again, untrained eyes, it seems like you're making that kind of progress incrementally and kind of taking advantage of some of those mistakes that you may make in a certain spot, or maybe you're seeing something different than you might have when you go back and watch it back on practice film. But it seems like that coaching and that progression for you has been a pretty smooth process.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, that's about getting 1% better every day. I mean, you want to, you know, go overnight and have everything figured out, but it doesn't work like that, especially not at the position I'm playing. It takes work, it takes practice, and it takes a lot of reps and a lot of looks. And it's just understanding that you can't get all those in one day. And you got to be able to take those mental reps behind Logan and behind Ryan and just understand, like, what you're actually looking at and looking for. That'll help you make these decisions quicker and just be able to see what you're trying to accomplish from each play.
I know there's has to be so many different things that you've learned since you got here, I think, what, mid-May after the draft. But one thing about the quarterback position that you know now that you were not necessarily sure of, or that you found out throughout the course of the training camp, the mandatory minicamp, OTAs, all the different work, what's been like the thing that's caught you, maybe not most off guard, but kind of surprised you about how much this position involves?
I don't think anything surprised me. I was kind of looking
forward
to it.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
But for you, has it been, I guess, the transition into this environment, has there been anything that's kind of, you know, that a welcome to the NFL moment, for lack of a better term, just kind of something that you've been working through that you haven't necessarily seen before, or things that you may not have had to experience yet that you've gotten to experience in the last couple of weeks?
I mean, ever since I got here, working the huddle, that was probably the biggest thing at first, because you go from having 25 seconds, 30 seconds on the play clock because we're going fast and we're in no huddle, to having like 15 and the mic cutting off at 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's like, you better get it while you live. You better get up there and be able to make these checks and be able to see what's going on and get the snap off within a timely manner.
Was that kind of like disorienting the first time you went through it?
And practice?
Yeah.
No, because he didn't have a time limit. But I think that helped, though, being able to practice that every day.
How are you settling into the city? Obviously, you've been here for a little while now, and I know it's all ball almost all the time, but are you enjoying Nashville? It seems like people have really embraced having you here.
Hey, good food and warm weather. That's all I need.
No question about it. All right, we're going to go through some of the biggest storylines heading into this preseason game, and, of course, we'll have full reaction afterwards on A to Z Sports and 104.5 The Zone. A lot of good stuff coming for you as we get ready for the regular season. But before we go through some of the biggest decisions, the most difficult decisions that I think John Robinson has in front of him, let me tell you about Superbook Sports, the newest sportsbook to go live in the state of Tennessee, from Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country. Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. You don't need to be at the game to enjoy all of the football this fall. All you have to do is download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start placing your bets today. They've got lines up for every pro football game for the rest of the season, plus which team will win the title, who your MVP is, and who will surprise in the SEC. You can wager on football and every other major sport in the Superbook Sports app. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hand, and Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. Get in on the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. So, we know that there's been a ton of roster battles across the Titans facility since training camp started, but the most surprising, the craziest one, and the one that I think is going to be pretty telling on Saturday night is the punter battle. Now, if you listen to the primetime show that we do to A to Z Sports, you know that we spent a considerable amount of time on the punter, given that veteran Brett Kern, he's been here forever. He has done so well across the course of his career. He's really one of three players that in the last decade of Titans football, when they were pretty god-awful, Brett Kern has been one of the players that's mattered for this franchise consistently, year in, year out. Excellent at what he does. Probably Jarrell Casey and Delanie Walker, I think, would be the other two names in that conversation. When the franchise was at its worst. Now, he's in year 14. And I guess by their metrics, by the organization's metrics and the coaching staff, they felt that he had been kind of losing his fastball a little bit. That had not been the observation of the rest of us, but I will give them the benefit of the doubt that they know more about the Titans roster than we do. Regardless, they've been at a punting competition. He and Ryan Stonehouse, the undrafted rookie free agent. I always want to say, I just don't know why I can't get the Stonehouse name down. Anyway, we'll see if I have to learn it permanently or not. But here's the thing. I think this is Ryan Stonehouse's job. I think he's got it. I think that one more year of Brett Kern, if you're asking the front office and the coaches, is not necessarily what they would consider worth it to keep a guy super talented in Stonehouse, super cost effective, and kind of make that your solution moving forward. You know in the immediate that Brett Kern still got it. He's looked great in the preseason. Some numbers from at least last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they've been splitting it up by the half at this point for the two of them as they've kind of worked these things out. They've been giving Stonehouse opportunities to hold field goals for Randy Bullock, which was, of course, a critical part of the punter position, just the utility of the punter position. But as I look at the stat sheet that they gave us post-game, Stonehouse punted four times last Saturday, 47-yard average, 37-yard net. Keep that 10 yards of net punting less. Keep that in mind when I get to Kern. So two touchbacks for Stonehouse, two inside the 20. His longest was 68. I think that in the Titans radio booth, Lucas on radio, Lucas Panzeca, told me that in the Titans radio broadcast, they said that it had gone a distance of over 80 yards, but for some reason, they couldn't necessarily give him credit for an 80-yard punt. Kern, two punts, 86 yards total, 43 average, but also a 43 net. The dude was out there throwing darts. Two inside the 20, both of them, both of the punts that Kern had inside the 20. He's been like that in these two games and really in practice. Like, it's not like Kern's been bad. But I think that the coaching staff thinks that it's time to find a different solution. And, you know, for a guy who's been here for over a decade and has really been a stabilizing force for this franchise for a long, long time, and if you've been following the NFL news, aware of the horrendous situation with the Buffalo Bills punter, Matt Araiza, and the accusations that he is being not charged of yet, but accused of in a civil complaint, as far as the allegations are concerned. Long story short, Bills are probably going to need a punter, and the loser of the Titans punter battle, which likely would be Brett Kern, would be a homecoming for him to end up in Buffalo and, you know, frankly, on a Super Bowl contender. So we'll see. But I think at this point, yeah, we're trending towards the end of Brett Kern this year. Outside of that, you know, Willis is obviously going to start. I don't know that that's been reported yet, but at whatever time you're getting this podcast, just know that Malik Willis is going to start. For me, it's Friday at 4:30 p.m. I don't know if that's out there yet, but yes, he will be making the third preseason start for the Titans. And as all these things go, you know, you're just trying to figure out if it's going to be a scenario where Logan Woodside's on the roster either way. I happen to think Logan Woodside's on the roster either way, because if you listen to the Malik Willis interview that we did earlier, that we played for you early in the podcast, to listen to him talk about the huddle and conceptually how kind of still new that is, that's a very basic thing for a quarterback, right? At the pro level. But that's still something that Willis has got to work through. I know that Logan Woodside, for all of his physical deficiencies or skill set deficiencies, I know that Logan Woodside knows how to work a huddle. He's going to be on the roster in some form or fashion. Maybe he clears waivers. Or rather, if he clears waivers, he'll be on the roster. If they decide to keep three quarterbacks, obviously he'd be on the roster. Now, I did see a report from Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network that indicated that they worked out, the Titans today worked out, because it was an off day on Friday, they worked out a group of players that included recently waived Bears wide receiver Daz Newsome, a 2021 sixth round pick. That was according to Field Yates. And also, according to Mike Garofolo, who I mentioned earlier, they worked out quarterback Kurt Benkert, recently worked out for the Texans, Garofolo adds, who threw well for Tennessee, a veteran option for teams as the regular season approaches. So I don't know anything about Kurt Benkert, but apparently, you know, just in case Woodside doesn't clear waivers, they're probably going to want to keep a guy around that they at least know what he can do. And a veteran option should Malik Willis be the quarterback that's left standing at the end of this thing, because just clearly not ready at this point. But they have to have contingency plans should somebody snatch up Woodside off waivers. You know, outside of that, we'll see what happens on Saturday night. I think most of the roster is decided. I'd like to see a lot of Caleb Farley. I don't know that I'm going to see a lot of Caleb Farley. I know I'm not going to see a lot of Roger McCreary, because I think that guy's got a job and likely a starting job. But that will do it for us on this edition of the podcast. Make sure that you rate, review, subscribe for all the great podcasts that we have in this feed. Make sure that you're listening to pregame coverage on 104.5 The Zone. I've got you from 3 to 5 on the Lee Company Countdown to Kickoff. Myself, Blaine Bishop, Mickey Ryan. It's going to be a great time. And then, of course, coverage of the game for you and all kinds of great write-ups at AtoZSports.com. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. I'll talk to you next Friday on the 615 Sessions.